message I have for us today is this. We've been delivered by the Word of God.
Amen.
We have been delivered by the Word of God. Praise God. And I'm going to dive right into some scriptures to present God's Word and to help us appreciate the glory, the power, the magnitude of the Word of God. Okay? Let me share a few scriptures with us. The first is in Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119 and the verse 89. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me read that for us. It says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, O God, your word is settled in heaven." And there are three things I want to point out from that. First of all, it says forever. Forever. Eternally. Eternally, the word of God is settled. It's not a temporal. Whatever God speaks, the words of God are not temporal. They abide forever. Okay? There's no time, scope that can limit the word of God. No dimension, no dispensation, no can limit the scope and the relevance of the word of God. Okay? Forever it abides. It's timeless. God's word is outside of time. Okay. It's timeless. That's the first word. The second one, he says, "Forever thy word." What is God's word? It's truth. It's that which originates from God. Not my words, but God's word. It's truth. It's unchangeable. It's not relevant. It's truth, period. It's what it is. It's what it is. Okay? God's word is forever the truth. He abides. When God speaks a thing, that's the way it is. We don't need anything else to be added to it. So the psalmist says, "Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven." What does that mean, settled in heaven? Firmly fixed, established, unshakable, unmovable, in the realm where no one can touch it or reach it. It's settled in heaven, in a place where nothing that is happening on earth, nothing that's going on in this world can influence it. No power, no demon, no principality has a power to influence where the word of God is established. Nothing, no one, no spirit has access to go and alter the word of God. It is exalted in the heaven. Amen. Word of God. Remember, the message is that we are delivered by the word. So you see these three aspects of God's word. It is forever. It is settled in heaven. And God's word is the truth. God's word is forever. God's word is the truth. It's not relevant. It is truth, 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 truth. All the time. And it's settled in a place where it's not left at the mercies of anything or anyone or any season. Praise God. Amen. And now the next scripture I want us to look into is in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 is one of my favorite scriptures. Praise God. Isaiah 55. Let's turn to Isaiah 55. And we read what God says about His own word. Thank you. Here we go. Just trying to get to Isaiah 55. We start from verse 8. Watch now. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." You know, what is that? Separation. There is separation. God is separating Himself from everything and everyone. He says, "Mine is not yours." Okay? "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts, your thoughts." Amen. "For as the rain come down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, But water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now God is introducing His word and describing how effective God, His word is. First He says, my words are not yours. And then He gives us an example. He says, you see, as heavens are separated higher than the earth, that, you know, He wants, He's painting a picture, image for us. That's how my word is. Okay? It's higher. And then He gave another description, that as rain comes down from heaven and snow, you know, when it rains, when it snows, it doesn't go back to heaven the way it came. It does something first of all before it returns where it came from. Right? What does it do? What would the rain do? It will water the ground and make the ground to have life. And so the ground can do what the ground is supposed to do before it goes back with to what is that thing called?
Evaporation.
Evaporation, right? Before that happens. And so God is using all of this to introduce to us His word. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the things which I sent it. God is saying, my word is like that. My word is like that rain. It's like that snow. Okay. Once it goes forth, it does not come back to me void. I want to also help you understand that God is not speaking now. Mm-mm. God is done speaking. Right? When you hear it, it's not when God says it. Or when God wants it to manifest, it's not when He said it. He's outside of time. He is the same, Alpha and Omega. He's simultaneously at the same place all the time and forever. Right? So, what God said, He has said. Within that dispensation, He's allowed it, it will manifest. Okay? So, what God has already declared cannot return to Him void. He can't go back to God void. It shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Praise God. So, I want you to imagine this. Picture this in your mind. That God spoke before things are. Think about it. That God spoke before things are. So what governs the things that are must exist before the things that are. And that's God's word. So if something is happening now, we shouldn't worry or fear about it. Because what was spoken over that was spoken long time ago. Mm-hmm. And that's our word that is settled in heaven. That is our word that is forever. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? And that's why He says here, it will always accomplish what I want. It will always prosper wherever I send it. Mm-hmm. You can't change that. Mm-hmm. Nobody can change it. It's not given to us. It's in heaven. It's settled in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I want to show you the power, kind of the power, sort of the power and the scope of God's word as He's dealing with us, dealing with His works. Okay? And for that, we will turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Next time I'm going to mark it up so it'll be easy. Right? Praise the Lord. It's a new Bible too. Hallelujah. I'm good. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Can we get a fan?
Amen. Hallelujah. So look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. See what it says. For the word of God is quick. Some versions say alive. It's powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and of marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Praise God. Now, what you get out of this? You said the God's word is quick. It's alive. It's living. It's not dead. That's what that means there. Okay? So for eternity, for all existence, God's word is alive. It's quick. And it's powerful. We've already seen a bit of that power when we read Psalm 119. Isaiah 55. God's word is powerful and is sharper than a two-edged sword. You know, the reason why he's using a two-edged sword, I believe back then, two-edged sword was some kind of a
best and best,
yeah. You know, for military purposes. Because when they use it to attack their enemy, it cuts both sides. You know, and they can wiggle it in it, you know. Yeah, it's efficient in killing. For killing, for warfare. And so that's why they use it. But it's sharper than it. It's sharper than it. Okay? And it pierces. Watch what it pierces. It says it's piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul. Soul. Amen? Soul. So God's word pierces into the soul. The spirit. It deals, the scope of God's word, right, deals with anything concerning our soul, anything concerning our spirit. But it didn't end there. Watch what he says. He says joints and then marrows. So speaking about our physical bodies, it doesn't matter how intimate that part of our body is, or how whatever is going on in that part of our body, God's word is able to reach it. So body, spirit, soul. The word of God is what? Alive, quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, can pierce, can reach. Amen. The message again this morning is that we are delivered by the word. We are delivered by the word. And God has established his word in such a way. I mean, the brilliance of God. We lack good better. We don't have enough vocabulary. You know, we don't. No matter how high sounding a person might, no matter how much you've studied it, we still fail when we come to describe God, his word, and his ways. Okay? It's grace that makes what we say acceptable. It's grace. And God has established this word beyond the reach of anyone or anything. This is between God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. The word is not in the hands of angels. The word is not in the hands of prophets or apostles. It's God's word. And it's good for us that it's that way. So it's incorruptible.
Amen.
It's incorruptible.
Amen.
You can't corrupt the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. In Psalm 149:6, it describes it like this. It says that because of God's word, we have a sword in our mouth and a sword in our hands. Because of God's word, we have a sword in our mouth and a sword in our hands. Praise God. So people like, when you go to battle and you have a physical sword in your hands, that's the armor flesh. You want to. But when you have the word of God only into battle, that means you have a sword in your mouth and you have a sword in your hands. Okay? This scripture is vindicated with Gideon. When Gideon with 300 men routed 120,000 people with 300 men. He routed them. You know what Gideon and his men did? They had a pitcher in their hand. They had a trumpet. And they had light. So which hand had the sword?
None.
They had no sword in their hand. All they had was God's word. But look at what they said when they said, when they spoke God's word. They said, the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. That was God's word.
Amen.
So God's word is your sword. It's the sword of the Lord and it's the sword of Gideon. And that's why Psalm 149:6 is showing us that God's word is a sword in our mouth and a sword in our hands. Praise God. Look at Isaiah 49:2, please, quickly. Isaiah 49:2. He says, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand had he hit me, and made me a polished shaft in his quiver, had he hit me. Praise God. Isaiah said, he had made my mouth like a sharp sword. Why? Isaiah chapter 6, he said, he took the coals and touched his lips. He says, this day I've touched you, my word is in you. You see, the word of God is a sword, but we just have to know how to weave it. You have to know how to weave it. When we preoccupy our mouths with things that we shouldn't be speaking, we lose the advantage the sword would have given us. You see, Christians, we're facing a lot of battle and losing.
Amen.
Because our mouths are preoccupied with things that it shouldn't be preoccupied with.
Amen.
We fight battles, we go into battles, and we think we're going to win. I say, God, where were you? And the Holy Spirit will ask you, where is your sword? I said, oh Lord, but I was angry. I said, okay. That's on you, not me. But he has made our mouth like a sword. We are delivered by the word. Let's go to Jeremiah 23:29. Amazing. These are just a few of the scriptures that talks about the word of God. There's so many more. Okay. In Jeremiah 23:29, it says, is not my word like as a fire? Yeah, this is where if you're from certain part of the world, when people are praying, they say, fire, fire, fire. Yeah, that's where they get it from. He says, it's not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer. There's another one that says sledgehammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. The word of God. Like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. We are delivered by the word. So what does that mean that we've been delivered by the word? And how does that work? Praise God. Amen. So what I've done, I've given you a little bit of background of God's words so that we can have an understanding of the magnitude, the pricelessness, the nature, the glory, the majesty of the word of God. So that when I'm going to point you into 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18, you will appreciate what has been written for us here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Hallelujah. We can appreciate what the Lord is saying here. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image that we are beholding from glory to glory, even as by the Lord, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. This is how it works. This is how it works. This is God's technology to deliver us. Remember everything I said about the word, we read about God's word, the majesty, the glory of it. Now, in a nutshell, it's been revealed to us. This is the process. He says, when you go to Christ, the background of this in 2 Corinthians is that when you go to Christ, the veil is taken away. That veil, that wall, blinds people from understanding God's word.
Amen.
So when Moses came down from heaven, from the mountain, with the word of God, with the Ten Commandments, the brilliance on his face was so bright that the children of Israel says, cover your face with a veil. And once the veil is there, revelation is gone. You can't understand the truth anymore. And he said, till this day, when you're blinded by this world, till this day, the veil is still on humanity. Because the veil is only taken away in Christ. So if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but you have a veil. And that veil will never allow you to understand or see, behold this glory that I'm changing.
Amen.
Only in Christ can the veil be taken away. And this is what this is addressing. So now that the veil is taken away in Christ, but we know that according to John chapter 1, that Christ is the word that delivers us. Watch. So now that you are in Christ, it says with open face, that means the veil is gone. You are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is Jesus Christ there, the Word of God. When you read and meditate on the Word, when you spend time with the Word of God, you are beholding with open faces what? The glory of the Lord. When we meditate the word, you memorize the word, you read the word, you study. That's why if you're a Christian and you don't read the Bible, there is zero chance for you to live a successful Christian life. Zero. No chance in this. Doesn't mean you're not saved, but there's zero chance for you to experience victory as a Christian. No chance. That's why for us Christians, the Bible tells us we have to meditate upon God's word how long? Night and day. Is it for God's sake? No, it's for your own sake. Let me tell you something. If you're not, you're missing out on this. And you're going to see how it works. It says, we are beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and are changed into what? What you're beholding is what you're being changed into. Exactly. What you're beholding, what you're meditating upon, what you're reading, what you're studying, is what you're being changed into. Praise God.
Amen.
Is that amazing or what?
Hallelujah.
But let me give you a bad news now. Because I set you up for the bad news. You see this principle? Does it work for God alone?
No.
Uh-huh. No. No, 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 no. world. If you want to make, if you see this, if you call flesh your glory and you meditate on flesh, you will be changed into that flesh. Oh, you know, God created principles, how things work. And that's why Satan can corrupt things. Because he sees the principle of what God did. And then he copies it. So let me ask you, what is your meditation? We are delivered by the word of God. But if your meditation is not the word of God, what is your meditation? He says, well, what is, I don't know. What takes most of your time? What takes most of your time? Simple. Is your job taking most of your time? Then the job will end up being your meditation. It's simple. Whatever you set before you as God will rule you.
Amen.
You will be changed into that image.
Amen.
That's how people get into habits. That's how people get into one habit or the other. They look at something. More often you do it, the more you're transformed into that image. You have to be careful what you give your eyes. You have to be careful what you give your eyes. You have to be careful what you give your ears. You have to be careful. You have to be careful what you're giving yourself to. You are a Christian, but you can be in bondage. So what is your meditation? You are a Christian, but you're in bondage. What is your meditation? You see, the mistake we make sometimes is that when things are happening, we're blaming the devil. And as long as we don't blame the devil, we don't take the responsibility that is required of us. Please leave the devil alone. Please leave him alone. If he had power to kill all of us, we wouldn't be here.
Amen.
The Bible says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He has no plans for you to survive.
Amen.
Why don't you ask yourself first, what is my meditation? What is my meditation? What is taking up my time? If you allow God's word to be your meditation, that means you are allowing yourself to look at life through the word of God. You will be changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by who? The Holy Spirit of the Lord. You will be changed. You will be transformed. Delivered by the word. It's very simple. It's right there. Change your meditation. Change it. We read about God's word. That's why I had to give you a little bit of scripture background on God's word, so you can understand the power, the glory, and the majesty of God's word. You can see. Remember, Hebrews says it's quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating the dividing asunder of your spirit and your soul. There's nothing you can't be delivered from. Not one habit you can't be delivered from by the word of God.
Amen.
It's settled in heaven. That means your habit has no power over it. All you have to do is give yourself more to it than you give to that habit. Give it time. It's going to transform you into its image. Praise God.
Amen.
Life is different in different places of the world.